Thursday the 14th of October, Vol Feshben, Ari Malka Herman, Ein Tzomchin Al Hanes.
So the issue of Ein Tzomchin Al Hanes, essentially they don't rely on miracles, and even when faced with a situation which appears to be insoluble in practical terms, generally speaking, don't rely on miracles. It's an issue which is really quite prevalent from the very beginning of Bereshis. And it's almost a theme throughout Bereshis. In this week's sedra, we see that when Avraham Avinu comes down to Mitzrayim, even though I'm sure he knew that Sarah was quite capable of creating miracles, as indeed she did for her own salvation, but nonetheless, Avraham Avinu goes to every form of hishtadlus to try and avoid her capture and the whole episode when it happens. Ein Tzomchin Al Hanes. In fact, the Ramban says on last week's sedra on Parshas Noach, says in the Torah, Mikol Achai, Mikol Basar, Shnai Mikol Tovi El Ateva. Lahachi Yosef Cha Zachon Akevihiyu. The Torah, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch instructs Noach, from all living beings, from everything that exists, two from all you've got to bring to the table. So, Frey the Ramban Akasha, which is the obvious Kasha, how on earth is one going to fit in the whole of this magnificent menagerie into the table? As Ramban says, as we note, he starts listing the numerous different types of animals that there are, 120 forms of one particular species, and all the various animals that existed. And obviously, every animal we have today comes from those that survived the Mabul. It's almost inconceivable to think that they fitted into this teva. So Ramban says that this was an ace. That the relatively small teva was able to contain this very large menagerie. So make it smaller. Does it make a difference to Kodesh Baruch Hu if the teva is matchbox size or juggernaut size? What difference does it make? Make it smaller. So he gives two tirutzim. The first tirut is that, in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Noach to take as long as he did over the table, so in the hope that some of the people would be motivated to do teshuva, which transpired was not something, of course, didn't happen. And the second teretz, he says, is because, and his lashon is very important, V'oliz osa osa gedola l'mayit b'nes, ki chein haderech b'chol anisim shabatera, oben adim, la'asosom ma'asha b'yata adam, this is the derech of the way Hashem created the world. Even in Nisim, La Sos, Tekena derech b'chol Nisim, Shema Torah or Benavim, La Sosom, Ma Shemiyat Adam, La Sos, V'Hashar Yeh B'Dei Shemayim. Human beings have got to do the maximum that they can do, and then the rest is left to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the second territory is nothing to do with the motivation to try and trigger tshuva on the part of the Ovri Avera. No, this is the derech of the world. Of course, this particular case, one could argue, is a bit different. Because over here, normally when we talk about Ein Tzomchin Al Hanes, we talk about the initiative B'Dei Adam. The initiative of Adam. I'm in a situation which warrants the miraculous. Am I allowed to do something which will need that? Over here, this wasn't the initiative of Adam. This was completely the instruction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The instruction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't say to Noach, you know, save yourself. He said, save yourself in a specific way. On the other hand, I think nonetheless this gives us a Pesach into the whole Inyan as to why there is an Inyan Ein Tzomchin Al Hanes. The truth is, I looked and looked to see if anybody asked the question why. It sounds like a very obvious question, but why Ein Tzomchin Al Hanes? So it occurred to me there's at least two, possibly three stadiums as to why Ein Tzomchin Al Hanes. And this Ramban is part of this. It could be that in fact it's simply an Eitz HaTova. It's practical advice. You know, don't rely on something that you can't be sure of. At the end of the day, who knows if you'll be zotah to an ace. Therefore, it's an ace that's over. In other words, there's nothing particularly nefarious about relying on an ace. You haven't done anything wrong, per se. It's just not sensible. It's just not practical. Who knows if you'll be zotah to that. And to a certain degree, this will be reflected in this Ramban, because a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't do nisim. That's not the way the world works. There's a certain cause and effect, if you like, which we are familiar with, and we can control, and we can, to a certain degree, anticipate. But this is not one that you can anticipate. So, Eitz HaTova, don't rely on the nes. It's just not a good way to practice and plan your life. The other way you could say is, no, maybe there's more to it than that. Maybe it's actually wrong to rely on the nes. And in fact, if in one of two ways, which we'll have a look at. The first way, if you look at the Ramban himself, then the makar for Ein Tzomchin Al Hanes is that it's Nasos Hashem Lakechem Kashen Asisim Mamora. The makar is in Devarim, Perek Vav, Pasuk Tes Zayin. I think it's actually possible. So positive design, that's right. Positive design. Makor is Lo Sanasu Es Hashem Lokechem. Do not test Hashem. Kasher Nisisim Bamaso. Just as you tested the Kodesh Baruch Hu at Mei Meriva, and you came out, and they said, "Listen, we're in this. If there's supplies, if the supplies run out, we're out of the whole thing." So there, for that check, this is actually the makor of not asking a Kodesh Baruch Hu for an ace. Even though the Pashtus Tekra over here is not that. And the Ramban over here explains that really what this is talking about is you mustn't base Aramuna, you mustn't base relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu on the potential of testing Hashem. I will keep the mitzvahs if Hashem does this for me. How many people say to me, if only Hashem would give me a miracle, then I believe. If only Hashem would give me a miracle, then I believe. So the Pashtus cry over here they were wrong, that you're not allowed to base your Aramuna on the possibility of a miracle, or to say, or deal with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and negotiate with Hashem. If you do this for us, then fine, I'm in it. If you don't, then not. But I think over here, again, the words of Ramban, and the way that he explains the Pashtus Tekra are also important. He says as follows. Ki ein roi lasos oid, shum davon nesoya. Okay, missing out a few words. Ki ein roi lavod Hashem al derech, she'eles mofis v'nesoya. You're not allowed to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu on the basis of requests for miracles. Ki ein rotzon Hashem lasos nesim l'chol adam v'choles. Because Hashem may not want to, Hashem does not want to perform miracles for each person and each time. Vein roi la'avja, I'm going to have a pras. Ela ula yimotze ba'avodoso, badarkia tera tzar va'oso. It may not always be so easy. If you're going to base your relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu on the prospect of getting what you want, then when you don't get what you want, then you'll step out of the whole thing. And that's not the way it works. Sometimes it comes with difficulty. Sometimes not so easy. So the way that Ramban explains Pashtus Tekra over here is the reason why you're not allowed to test Hashem by asking for particular things is because it undermines the essence of unconditional emunah, unconditional avodah. And if you do test Hashem and it goes wrong, then it will undermine everything that you do. And sometimes the derech hatera is not so easy. So although this is the way he explains Pashtus Tekra, perhaps this is also another reason why Ein Soma Chanan on Eitz. If you're going to enter in a negotiated situation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and it doesn't work out, then you're going to question the ways of Hashem. You're going to question whether it's for you or not. Chas v'shalom. There is, of course, another factor. And the Gemara in Shabbos number Beis Amar Rav says as follows. There the Gemara is talking about putting yourself in a situation of potential danger. And the Gemara brings that Rav Yanai bodik v'avar. Rabbi Yanai, before he took a journey across the river, would check the boat to make sure the boat was worthy. Says the Gemara, why? The context of the Gemara over there is from Bamei Mamelikin, in the Shalosh Averis, which a woman may, Rachman Nistan, lose her life in childbirth. Why? Two reasons. The first one sounds like a practical one. Shema ein osin lo nes, maybe it won't happen. For im oisin, and even if it does happen, manakila mischiyosa, perhaps it will reduce your schiyos. So another reason. Reduce your schiyos, a person has accumulated a certain number of schiyos throughout their lives, and we see that Moshe Rabbeinu and Ravinu were all worried about this, that yes, taka, I've got schiyos, but if a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives me an extension, gives me more than I would be otherwise entitled to, is going to reduce the schiyos that are mine. In fact, the Gemara brings a pasuk, Ma'akra, Katonti Mikola Chasadim Mikola Emes. That's it. Katonti Mikola Chasadim Mikola Emes. So one could suggest that there's possibly one of two-stroke-three reasons for the instruction, Ein Soma Chanan Es. Reason number one is it's simply quite practical. Don't plan your life that way. It's not. You haven't done anything particularly wrong. It's just not the way. Shema Ein Osin Lo. Maybe you won't get an Es. And it's advice. It's advice for how to live your life. Well, the other reason is, no, actually, if you do this, then you might be doing something wrong. Either you'll be entering into a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is a bit like dealing with the Almighty, and that may be something that has negative connotations in terms of our approach to Aveda. That's not the way that we live our lives. Or, even if a Kodesh Baruch Hu does do an ace for you, it may not be in your best interest in Ruchnias terms, because it'll reduce the schiyos that you are announced. Of course, as we shall see, there may be enough committees in terms of why that is. But let's first of all come back down to earth a little bit and look at to a contradiction in the whole sugya. The Mishnah says in Avos, Asara Nisim Nasu Lavo Senem Beis Hamidosh. There were 10 Nisim that happened in the Beis Hamidosh. Lo Epila Isha Meireach Basar HaKodesh. A woman never miscarried despite the smell of the meat there. Lo Zriach Basar HaKodesh Ma'ilom. Nor did the meat ever go off, it never putrefied. Lo Nira Zivu Beis HaMidbachayim. There were never flies around despite the blood and the flesh. And the rains never quenched, they never extinguished the fire of Marocha. Nor did the wind ever deflect the pillar. No, there were never pasun in the omesh, the alechem, lechaponim, etc. Omes fuf mishtachim revachim. And also the final one, lo hizik nachash v'akubir shalayim v'ayinam. 10 nisim, which were regular nisim that took place in the Beis Hamikdash. Amongst two of these 10 nisim, well, three actually, number one, the first of fact, the lohi sriach basar hakodesh me'olam. The meat never went off. Never went off in the hot Jerusalem sun, the Yerushalayim sun, the meat never went off. The second one was, lo ira keri the Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippurim. The Kohen Gadol never became tummy on Leon Yom Kippur. And the third one was, that you never found a psul in lechem upon it. Right, lechem upon it. Now, why do I highlight all of these three? Because we find that actually all of these three, when it comes to the Mishnayos and Halacha, with reference to all of these three, they took precautions against any of these things happening. Despite the fact that these are listed as the 10 nisim that took place in the Beis Hamikdash, nonetheless, they took precautions against all of these things here happening. So the first one, in Shkolim, in Perek Vav in Shkolim, it brings Shlosha Asa Shulchanos Hayu B'Mikdash. There were 13 tables in the Beis Hamikdash. Shmona Shel Shayis, there were 8 of marble. The Beis Hamikdashim in the Shechit area. Shaleim Adivim Asa Kravayim, on which they would wash the entrails of the Karbonis. Vishnayim B'Marav HaKevet, and there were 2 on the west side of the Kevet. Echel Shel Shayish, one was of marble, Echel Shel Kesef, and one was of silver. Wow. Al Shel Shayish Ainos Nis Avarim. On the marble ones, they put the Avarim. Al Shel Kesef Kesharis. Who said it? Kula. That's right. So on the marble ones, they put the Avarim, and not on the silver one. Now, goes on to say, Vishnayim B'Olam Mifnim HaPesach HaBayis, and there were 2 in the entry of the Olam, Echel Shel Shayish and Echel Shel Zav. Al Shel Shayish, when they brought in the lechem upon him, the fresh lechem upon him, they put it on Shel Shayish, v'al Shel Zav b'Yitziyaseh, on the gold on the way out. Shemayim Mekodesh v'lo Meridim. But the question is, and the reason why they didn't put the meat on the silver one, but they put it on the marble one because it was cooler, and meat is a metal that sweats, and therefore the meat might go off. Similarly, we see elsewhere the lechem upon him as well. When they brought it in, they put it on the marble one and not on the silver one or the gold one because it might sweat. And in fact, the Gemara in the Yerushalmi Shkolim asks this. Fet Gemara Kasha. Okay, Leis Kan Shel Kes Meshi Matia. Says Gemara, one second. Lo Kain Tani. Have we not learned the Echom in a Nisim Shanasa Beis Hamikdash? This is one of the nisim was made. Kashem shayim menich anosuchaim kachem mitzi anosuchaim. There were nisim that surrounded the lechem upon him, so you had a little bit of an extra nace. You put it on the silver one on the way in as well, and this is part of the nace. Says the Gemara, Meshur b'Nevi, Amar ein maskirim mas nisim. Right, ein maskirim mas nisim. We don't rely basically on nisim. We don't count on nisim. Similarly, the Gemara in Yuma in Yerushalmi as well asks a very similar kasha. And it talks about Kol Shibas Yomim from 7 days in the preparatory period for the Kohen Gadol. Lo hayu manin mimenu machol mishtek. Eat whatever you like. Erev Yom Kippurim imchashecha. Lo hayu manich anos lechol habra shamach mevi esashena. Right? They were not allowed to eat too much because that would induce sleep, and the risk of sleep was that he might become tummy. Gemara brings all the various things that he was not allowed to eat that might induce tummy. Then the Gemara asks the kasha. Avalomen in Nisim Shahim Nasim Beis Hamikdash. Wasn't this one of the Nisim in the Beis Hamikdash? Says Amar Rabbin, Hashem no tenasu nosi. Don't test him. Amar Biosi. And so the first heresy is, listen, you can't rely on Nisim. Ain't Samach on Nes. Yes, it is true that this is what happened, that he never became tummy. Yes, it's true that the meat never went off, but you were not allowed to rely on that ab initio. You were not allowed to rely on that. It happened, if you like, that was what happened post factum, but actually, you were not allowed to go in, you had to do everything you could b'day odim to ensure that you protected things. The second heresy is, Amr Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Nun, kan berishon kan b'sheni. Kam Barishin Kam Hasheni. It's interesting that this is only said in reference to Yuma. I didn't see any other issues. Kam Barishin Kam Hasheni. In the first base of Mikdash, that is when they didn't need to take the precaution with reference to the Kohen Gadol. This is Gemara in Yuma. But in the second base of Mikdash, they had to take those precautions. The Mashmash being, in the first base of Mikdash, there wasn't such an issue in the environment of the base of Mikdash relying on the Nisim. But in the second base of Mikdash, where everything was reduced and the Giddush Hinnah was not what it was in the first base of Mikdash, there they had to take some of the precautions that were not necessary in the first base of Mikdash. The Maharal in the Pirkei Avos, I can't resist just mentioning it, he goes to all of these through 10 Nisim and shows that there's a progression, but it's, if I've understood him correctly, it shows one particular route through all the Nisim was the base that all of these things is about decay or disturbance of one form or another. Certainly the first 7 are about decay, last 3 more difficult to say that, but disturbance in one form or another. But on the base of Middash was a place of Kodesh, a place of Chios, a place of eternity, a place of Nitzchias. He actually says it was axiomatic that there were Nisim in the base of Middash. There had to be Nisim there to contrast it with the rest of the environment, and because it was a place of Nitzchias, it would have been incompatible in a place of Nitzchias for there to have been aspects of decay. Therefore, says the Maharal, so certainly we see certain one thing over here, that either there was a chiddush between the first base of Middash and the second base of Middash, certainly in reference to the Kohen Gadol, or, yes, it's true that these things happened, but that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's catchment. That's not our catchment. We're not allowed to rely on that lechachila. The Gemara of Pesachim in Samach Dalet, on the base, brings a Mishnah there that on Erev Pesach, when they would bring the Korbanos, bring Korban Pesach. So it had to be 3 groups. Certainly, ideally, it has to be 3 groups. Kala Das Yisrael, says the Torah, it has to be 3, the Kodesh was split into 3 groups, and the groups took turns to come into the base of Middash to bring the Korban Pesach. Yotzah Kashri Shonav, Nechasah Kashniah. The one there over there says that after the first group, so they closed the gates. After the first group, says the one they closed the gates, Moram Psochi. And then the second group came in, the third group came in, and the Levim sang, and the whole magnificent process took place over there. Gemara then brings a machlokas between Abaya and Rava as to the gerusa of the Mishnah. Does the Mishnah say, Itma Abaya Amar Ninalu Tanam? That means the gates were closed. Rav Amar Noyalin Tanam. That they actively closed the gates. Ninalu is they closed themselves. And Rava says, no, Noyalin Tanam. The gerusa of the Mishnah is in fact that not when they close themselves, but they actively close the gates. Says the Gemara, Mai Banayu, what's the machlokes between Abaya and Rava, as to whether the gates close themselves or whether they actively close the gates. Says the Gemara, Lemismachanissa. Abaya, Arma, Ninanu Tanam. That the gates close themselves. They didn't have to worry about that. Kama Da'ailu Malu, Vasam Chilan Anissa. Abaya says, no, what happened was that as many people could come in, everyone would crowd in, and when Hashem once said, okay, that's enough, then there was probably the first version of automatic doors. The gates close themselves, they close themselves. Rava says, no, it's now below some chinan anissa. It's quite remarkable. Rava says, we're not allowed to be so mech on nes, below some chinan anissa. They had to actively close the gates. When they felt that the Azara was full, then they closed the gates, and that was it. So this is obviously Mefarshim asking over here. It's amazing that Abaya suggests over here that they actively relied on this. They actively relied on this. So the Tzlach over here says as follows. I read out his Lashonos. Yunin Nias Dati. To ask Khan, lo oma Abaya semchinan anissa. His question is, how can Abaya say we rely on the nes? Ela dova she b'diyeved kosher. That really, b'diyeved, if it wasn't done in 3 separate groups, because the risk, of course, of not closing the gates is that everyone would crowd in the first group. You know, we haven't changed. You know, everyone crowds in the first group, want to get in there as early as possible. There's reason back demon, and maybe it won't be enough for the number of the quota for the third group. That's the risk. So he says, Amar Abaya samchin anissa, lo samchin anissa, sorry, lo Amar Abaya samchin anissa, el adava shebediyevit kosher, bediyevit kmo pesach. Shapasak Aram, the Rambam Paskin, the Perikal of Milchas Karam Pesach Hilachi Dalaf, the Im Shachar Kalav Asochim of As Achas Kosher. That even if it happened, in fact, there was only one massive group, and not more than that, it was kosher. So therefore, in such a situation, the Kivan Zarat Lechat Chila Be'inon Shalosh Kisos Samchinon Lenessa. Since it was only Lechat Chila that we need three groups. But b'di'evet, if there weren't three groups, there was only one group, two groups, or even only one group. Nonetheless, it's all kosher. It hasn't invalidated the process at all. Therefore, only in that case does Abaye say that you can be somech on netz. Okay, then he brings a grace on the Makoros, but actually brings as follows. In fact, the Kesem Mishnah asks on the Rambam. Where does the Rambam get it from? That b'di'evet, if there's only one group, it's kosher. It's okay. Where's the Rambam get that from? And the Kesem Mishnah says it's up. Maybe from here. From the very fact that Abaye said in this situation, somechin anes, that itself is the indication that really that's only because b'di'evet is kosher. If you don't get three groups, b'di'evet is kosher. Because were it be a requirement, even b'di'evet, then Abaye would not have said we would be allowed to rely on nes in order to fulfill that critical requirement. Okay, in fact, to round the picture, in Shulchan Aruch, in Yerodea, brings... as we know, the famous principle that chamira sakanta meisura brings that there are a whole lot of things a person should be careful not to do. A whole lot of strange practices and dresden practices. You shouldn't put money in your mouth in case there is roik yovish on it, infection, acquired awareness, infection, the bacteria, and all the types of diseases, various things. And says the Ramah, v'chein yizoy mechol devarim ha-mevina de sakana. A person must avoid anything which is might be dangerous. He has sakanta chamir meisura. Sakanta chamir meisura. Okay, v'yesh lachosh yosel a sofik sakana misofik yisa. We see in Shulchan Aruch on many occasions, we're more concerned about sofik sakana than sofik yisa. Brings various examples, and he says as follows: V'chol eile devarim hemishum sakana v'shem anashi yirchet mehem v'alsa lismuch anes v'lesakin nafshe v'chol kiyotze b'zeh. And you're not allowed to rely on a mace or to put yourself in danger in any respect. And then he references Shulchan Aruch Tovkuf Zayin, which is the last the siman there, and Choshen Mishpat, which is Hilchas Ma'aka. Look at the very, very last siman of Choshen Mishpat, incredible words there of the Shulchan Aruch itself, that talks about if a person places themselves in a situation of sakana, then they can be hauled in for Makas Maradus, which is doubly dangerous. So therefore, the severity of not placing yourself in sakana. Of course, there were some remarkable exceptions. Most famous exception is, of course, is B'chinina Mendeisa. Maisa B'chinina Mendeisa. Maisa B'mokam Achachoy Orod. There was, Brachas in Namad Gimel, there was this scorpion, by Mazik Zebrias, and they came to tell B'chinina Mendeisa. There was a dangerous animal, there was Mazik Zebrias. And he came along, he said, show me the hole, they showed him the hole, he put his heel in the hole. Yotzav Anoshva Umes. So what happens is the scorpion comes out, bites him on the heel, and the scorpion dies. Okay, and he takes the scorpion, brings it to the base of Middash, and gives him Musa Joshua. Says, "Ru, bani, banai, ein orad memis and achet memis." It's not death; it's not the scorpion that kills. But now, of course, and then Gemara brings says, "Gemara oyle la adam shapaga by orad." Woe is to the person who meets the scorpion. For oyle la orad shapaga work on him and daisa. Some advice for scorpions. Avoid Rebuchadnezzar. So, afraid that many ask the kasha, I over here, ain't somechil on anais, ain't somechil on anais. But it seems clear from here and many other places that someone like Rebuchadnezzar, who is actually the Rashbam brings actually Makor and Chumash as well, which I haven't got time to elaborate on now, that people who were to a tzaddikim, a remarkable tzaddikim, they knew what they could do. They knew what they could do. And even of the various suggestions that I made in terms of why there might be an issue, if you know it's a practical issue, well, if he knew practically that this was within his ability or within his sense of connection with Kadosh Baruch, that wouldn't be a practical issue. And somewhere Rabbi Chanina Medeisa, there would be no danger to his emunah on the basis of this. Of course it wouldn't be a danger to his emunah on the basis of this. So it seems, I also saw as well, I didn't see the Makar for it, but I saw it quoted somewhere, that it could be over here because it was Hezekiah to Rabbim. Hezekiah to Rabbim, Hatzolah to Rabbim, might be an exceptional situation, which for someone like Chanina Medeisa, he was allowed to place himself in this situation. Yeah, I mean, there are two other factors which really are issues in their own rights, but I feel for the sense of some kind of hashlama, have to be mentioned, which are other aspects of advice that are given in the Gemara and Halacha about managing one's life safely. One is, of course, Shluchim Mitzvah and Nizokim. Shluchim Mitzvah and Nizokim. Normally have a principle that a person's an agent for a mitzvah, and then he's protected from harm. Now, the Gedorim from that, I have to say, I'm not yet 100% clear on, but a very important Makor in that is Gemara and Kedushin. Gemara in Kedushim brings the famous case, the scenario of the man who instructs his son to climb a tree to do shliuch haken. He's involved in a double mitzvah, which appears to promise, which promises long life, and nebuch the boy, the child falls and dies. And the child of his eye, the terror says that both of these mitzvahs promise arichas yamim, fiken dazayim. So in the end, the Gemara says sulamura. The Gemara says, very important, why? The ladder he ascended over there was a rickety ladder. Was a rickety ladder. To kaviyah hezekah, b'chol heicha to kaviyah hezekah, lo samchinan anisa. Right? Wherever kaviyah hezekah, what does that mean? That means where the hezek is definite. Definite. Kaviyah hezekah, that means there's no question about this, there's a kavua about this, there's definite danger over there. To climb a down rickety ladder, even to fulfill these mitzvahs, that you're not allowed to do. Brings us the Gemara of the Raya from Shmuel. When Shmuel was asked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no less, to go and anoint David HaMelech during the lifetime of Shaul HaMelech, so Shmuel says, Eich Eilech v'shama Shaul v'hargeni. How can I go? Shaul will come and will kill me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him answers. He says, take karbonos, look, you know, there'll be subterfuge, look as they own another enterprise altogether. So even though he'd given him a mitzvah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, listen, don't worry, I'll look after you. No, he wasn't allowed to be semach on eisim that. Why? Because shkiach kaviyah hezekah, not shkiach hezekah. The lashon of the Gemara is not shkiach, which is likely kaviyah hezekah. That means this was a situation of absolute danger, of undubitable danger. In such a situation, then you can't invoke shlichu mitzvah in the zaken. How that works out in all the cases, I'm not 100% sure, especially the Gemara of Pesachim. But maybe this the finik is in this lashon of kaviyah hezekah rather than shkiach hezekah. Shkiach kaviyah seems to me there is a definite danger. You ascend a ladder where the rungs are loose or the rungs are rotten, then that's just ridiculous, effectively speaking. I wanted to bring in a little bit, there's a beautiful tshuva of the other issue actually. Half an hour really is quite short, isn't it? Because the other interesting issue, of course, is Kim Dadoshu Bei Rabim, another aspect, Shema Posayim Hashem. The Gemara in Yavamas and elsewhere, that sometimes there are practices which were seen to be originally dangerous. The Gemara brings in Yavamas about doing Mila or Hakalza on days where the weather is not good weather, dangerous. And then the Gemara brings it there, but today we do this. Why Kim Dadoshu Bei Rabim? Which means, basically, we see that this is no longer dangerous. We see by human practice, by human experience, this is no longer dangerous. And therefore, in that situation, Kim Dadoshu Bei Rabim. There's a long tshuva from the Mishnah Halachas, from Rashi Klein, who goes to all these various Gedorim and talks about when can we establish something is no longer dangerous. What does that mean? Perhaps I'll finish with one shayla which was raised at work. A bit tongue-in-cheek, but you know, in these days of difficult fundraising, so one of my colleagues suggested, maybe a great fundraising technique would be for me, who volunteered me, to jump out of an airplane, parachute out of an airplane, and I'd be sponsored for the experience. It worried me a bit that he suggested that idea so ardently. That was his suggestion. So somebody else said, one second, and somebody else said, no, in the end, it was my wife's view that prevailed. And I'll leave you to yourself as what the answer might have been.